think of the fact that we are his children and we can go to him at any time. We do have a few announcements today. So this Wednesday night, the Bible study will be meeting at February 14th. It's Valentine's Day. We'll be meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And we're going to continue our study on people of the Bible and what we can learn from them. So this week we will be looking at Solomon. So there's lots of information on Solomon. There are some handout sheets at the back, so you're going to want to start working on your handout sheet early this week to be prepared for Wednesday. So please help yourself to a sheet on Solomon. And if you're not able to come to study, take one with you and do that during the week. It's always a good study to do. Continue to pray for God's leading as we continue on our search for a pastor. There will be a men's conference on Saturday, February the 24th from 8:30 to 1:30 at Banwell Community Church. The tickets are $30 and lunch is included. And the deadline to register is February 18th. So that deadline's coming up. If you're interested in attending, please speak to Kevin Augustine and he'll make sure that he gets everybody registered. Our speaker for next week will be Mr. David Gourley. And today we have Mr. Sam Malloy with us from Matthew House, so we're looking forward to hearing the message that God has laid on his heart and hopefully just a little update on how things are over at Matthew House. And so that's our announcements for this morning. Let's just go to God in prayer at this time. God, our Father, we thank you so much for our ability to be here this morning to worship you. We thank you that for the reminder that you... You have redeemed us, and Lord, we just can't thank you enough for that wonderful gift that you paid the price for. So, Lord, we just sometimes forget the cost that was truly involved with your sacrifice in order to redeem us. So, Lord, we just thank you for the reminder this morning in that beautiful song that we are redeemed. Lord, we just thank you for this morning and for the ability to be here this morning. I thank you for each person here that's taken time out of our busy schedules to be here for worship. Lord, we just thank you that that you give us a reason to live, that you give us a message to share. And Lord, help us to be your messengers and to not be fearful about speaking out for you. So Lord, help us to show your love in tangible ways to people that we come across, whether it's an encouraging word to a friend or prayers for somebody that we know that needs healing, or whether it's just a spoken word in a shopping line to somebody that bears witness to you. So Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities you give us and help us to see those opportunities and not overlook any time that we can share your love and message with not only strangers, but with our own family members that don't know you as their Lord and Savior yet. Lord, we just know that your word tells us that there will be a time when you're going to return, and we don't want any of our loved ones to be left behind. So Lord, help us to be your faithful witnesses in this world. Help us to make that a priority in our lives. Lord, I just thank you for each person serving on our search committee. And Lord, I just thank you for the times where we've had a candidate that we've met. And Lord, we just know that your hand has been in the decisions all along, whether it was the candidate that determined that they weren't right for this role or whether it was us choosing that the candidate wasn't the proper one. Lord, we just thank you for your leading, for your direction. And Lord, we just pray that you will bring the person here that you want to serve as a pastor. And Lord, in the meantime, we thank you so much for each person that provides support to our church family, that is so willing to come and preach your word. And Lord, I just thank you for the preaching that's been all based on your word alone. So Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, help us to be patient as we continue the search. Lord, I just thank you for each person in our congregation. I just pray for the needs of our congregation, whether it's somebody looking for work or whether it's health issues. Lord, you know the needs. We don't always know the needs of one another, and sometimes people don't even want to share their needs. But Lord, we know that you can meet all of our needs, and you know the solution that's best for us. Lord, we know that you can bring healing to physical healing where it's needed, and spiritual and emotional healing where it's needed. And Lord, we just pray that you meet the needs of each person in our church family and each person that attends here. Lord, we just pray, especially at this time, for Bob as he continues to battle cancer. And Lord, I just pray for Mary as she's got some health needs, and for Judy Bryant. Lord, there's other concerns and health issues within our church family and people that are maybe not here this morning because of a health issue. But Lord, we just know that you are faithful to walk us through whatever situation we face, whatever physical issue we face, whatever financial issue we face. Lord, you are going to walk us through, and that we will be with you someday. And Lord, we look forward to that day. Lord, I thank you for this church and the community around us. Thank you for the witness of just the building being here. But Lord, we just pray for more opportunities to reach out and witness in our own community here. And Lord, I just thank you for people that serve at the Breakfast Club and touch lives with the waffles that get served. And Lord, I just thank you that you've sustained us, not only through COVID, but through several years without a pastor. And Lord, we just thank you that we can continue to worship here. And we just ask for your leading and for your showing us who the right person is to come and lead this congregation. And Lord, I just pray for our leaders and our country. Lord, we pray for countries all around the world. There's so much turmoil everywhere in the news that you read. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bring peace where there's fighting and wars. There's been wars going on that seem so, that there's no reason or logic for it. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bring peace in those areas of our world. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bring revival throughout our world, throughout countries that don't even know of you and your salvation that's freely given. So Lord, we just pray for missionaries that are out on the fields within the world, keep them safe. And Lord, for people that don't know you to hear the gospel. And we just pray for revival in our world. Lord, we just ask for your presence as we continue in our worship service, and thank you for the ability to be here. And we just bring all of these things and lay them at your feet, knowing that you are more than capable to answer our prayers and to resolve conflict. So Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hey, it's good to be with you. I'm good. It's always good to be here. I was joking with Kevin earlier. I haven't said anything too crazy yet because you keep inviting me back. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen. Last Sunday, I was driving a friend home who lives over in Sandwich Town, so very close to here. And we drove under that big old bridge, Ambassador Bridge, right? And we got to talking, you know, about the history of the bridge. You know, it's almost 100 years old. That bridge, 1927, it was first built. It's a very old bridge. And it's kind of, to me, symbolizes the relationship that Windsor has with Detroit, right? We have a good friendship with them, partnership with them. A lot of trade goes back and forth between the two countries. So to me, the term Ambassador Bridge is a very fitting name, right? Because it represents this international relationship we have. And you know what my friend said? He said, Ambassador, huh, that would be a good name for a church. And I said, it's funny you say that. I'm preaching at Ambassador Baptist Church next Sunday, and here I am today. So today I want to talk to you all today about ambassadors, specifically ambassadors in the Bible. What does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ in our world today? According to the dictionary, an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative in a foreign country. Okay, so they live in a land that's not their home, and they seek to represent their own country while they're living in that land. It is a prestigious and honorable position, and it comes with a lot of responsibility, right? And the Bible uses this analogy of ambassadors to describe us and our relationship with the world that we're in today. If there's any church that should understand that, it's y'all, but I think it's still good to go over and discuss today, okay? Today I want to dig into the scriptures and see more about how we're called to be ambassadors of God's love. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we open your word today that you would speak to us. You would speak to every heart here. Speak through me to whatever they need to hear, God. So we love you. We thank you for this day. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you're turning there, I'll just talk a little bit about 2 Corinthians. Paul's writing to this church in Corinth, right? They had a lot of questions about how they should be operating, how they should be living in a very pagan, very anti-Christian Roman Empire at the time, right? The Roman Empire, and specifically Corinth, was filled with greed, idolatry, sexual immorality, right? Sounds familiar to our world today. And Paul's letter gives them a template of how they should live and operate as Christians in this world, okay? In chapter 5, he describes the confidence that we have because of our identity in Christ. But let's read from verse 17, okay? Here's what it says. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So today I want to talk about ambassadors. So what makes a good ambassador? What makes a good ambassador? Well, for one, a good ambassador understands their identity. A good ambassador understands their identity, right? They may be living in one country. Maybe they're the Canadian ambassador to Nigeria. They may live in Nigeria. They're not a Nigerian. They're a Canadian, but they live there, right? Or maybe they're the Chinese ambassador to France, okay? They might live in France, but they're Chinese, okay? They care primarily about the country that they're from and representing that country's interests in the land that they're living in. And any of you here who claim to be Christians, any of you who are disciples of Jesus, your identity is no longer based on your earthly kingdom. When we are saved, God sets us apart as members of his own kingdom. Okay, so all of you, your primary country, your primary, what you are representing, the kingdom that you represent, is not Canada, it's the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven. Colossians 1:13 says this, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven as we eagerly await for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and this is profound and this is important to understand. Christianity is not tied to one particular nation. Christianity is not tied to one particular culture, one particular language group, okay? In fact, you have more in common with a believer on the other side of the world who speaks a completely different language than you. You have more in common with that person than you have with your next-door neighbor who doesn't know the Lord, right? And if an ambassador loses sight of this, if they lose sight of what their true identity is, you have all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems. Okay, I think this is important to note. We get caught up in politics, we get caught up in debates, all kinds of things in today's world. But what's best for the kingdom of God isn't always necessarily what's best for the kingdom of Canada. I love Canada, okay? I love the healthcare, I love the freedom, I love the opportunities. There's so many things that I love about Canada. But Canada is not the kingdom of God, right? Canada is not God's chosen people, right? The primary care and concern of us as ambassadors is what are the issues that concern the kingdom of God. Okay? Sometimes those things line up, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes the things that this nation of Canada takes pride in are actually very anti the kingdom of God. Okay? We should pray for our leaders. We should seek the well-being of the nation that we're in, but don't lose sight of your true home. Don't lose sight of your true home. Okay, a good ambassador understands their identity. A good ambassador is also very intentional about what they do. They're intentionally active in their community. Okay, an ambassador doesn't show up in the country that they're going to and sit in their home all day and hide away and not interact with anyone, right? They're out in the community, they're getting to know people, they're representing their country. If there's any issues of justice or any issues of trade or anything that regards their home country, they're the ones tasked to speak up about that. It's on them to make sure that their country is represented well. And God has entrusted us with a valuable message. Look back at that 2 Corinthians passage, right? What is this message that he's entrusted us with? It's right there in verse 18. It says, God has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. We're going to talk more about that a little later. Okay. The kind of ambassador that hides in his home and doesn't actually represent his country very well in the foreign land that he's in is not a very useful ambassador. Okay, they're not providing any value to their country. It reminds me almost of, do you remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, right, where the master gives one servant 10 talents and he's able to multiply that. He gives another one 5, he's able to multiply that. But one servant, he gives one, and rather than using it, he just buries it in the ground and hides it, okay? And then when the master comes back, he's like, what have you done? What have you done? You've wasted this, right? He was condemned for refusing to try and multiply, refusing to do what he's supposed to do. Okay? And all of us have a duty. All of us have been called to be ambassadors for Christ. It's a prestigious position in any empire, and God's kingdom is no different. Okay? It's extremely important. A good ambassador knows their identity. A good ambassador is intentional about actually fulfilling their role. And they also, primarily, they seek to honor the kingdom with their conduct. Not bring shame to their kingdom, but bring honor to their kingdom. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The deeds that you do, whether good or bad, are a reflection of the kingdom you're representing, right? When a non-believer sees you doing something positive, it can cause them to wonder why. I can't tell you how many times I've been able to share the gospel with someone. And it hasn't started because I run at them waving a sign or run at them, going to hit them with the Bible. No, it starts with I buy them lunch. I give them food. I clothe them. I help them out with something, right? As was mentioned, I work at Matthew House Refugee Center, and I get to interact with a lot of people from all over the world. Okay, and at Matthew House, we help them with settlement. We help them as they go through their paperwork, the very difficult refugee process. We support them the whole way through. And I've often had residents, particularly Muslim residents, question, why would I do this? It doesn't pay me particularly well, okay? It's hard work, it's long days. Why do we do this? And I'm able to share that because what Christ has done to me, I'm able to pour out this love to others, and it gives me opportunities to share the gospel, right? So the good deeds that you do, whatever that is, maybe it's feeding the homeless, maybe it's advocating for justice, supporting orphans and widows, welcoming strangers, visiting prisoners, right? All these things Jesus outlines for us in Matthew 25. It's important that we're actually doing these things. And I don't know what that is in each of your lives, but I do know God has called you to do something, right? God speaks through his Spirit to our hearts. He prompts us to do different things, okay? So be listening to that, and don't neglect that duty. Don't neglect that duty. In Matthew 25, Jesus offers a very stern warning. He says, whatever you do for the least of these, so whatever you do for those who are suffering, for those who are hurting in our world, whatever you do for them, you do for me. And whatever you don't do for them, you don't do for him, for Jesus, right? So be intentional. Think about what are the things that you're doing that bring honor to the kingdom, and how can this point people to the king? I read a story this week about an ambassador from Romania who was serving in Kenya, okay? And it's rare that this happens, but they actually kicked him out of Kenya because he was such a terrible ambassador. He was overheard making really terrible racist comments about the people of Kenya. Very, very horrible things he was saying. And they just said, you know what, we don't want this in our country. And they kicked him out. How now do you think the people of Kenya will view Romanians, right? This was probably the only Romanian that they've met. But it brings great shame on his country because he did this thing. Right. And when you're an ambassador, people are watching what you do. There isn't anything you do that's neutral. Either things that you're doing are positive and glorifying our king, or they're negative, and they're painting a negative picture of our King and our kingdom, right? Everything you do, non-believers will see that, and it will honor or shame the kingdom. So let's represent well. Let's represent well. So a good ambassador understands their identity, right? First and foremost, we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. They're intentional about what they do, and they seek to honor, not shame. They seek to honor, not shame, the kingdom. So I want to talk a little bit now about what are we actually ambassadors of? What are we ambassadors of? And I mentioned it earlier. It was in that 2 Corinthians passage, the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, the ministry of reconciliation. So what is reconciliation? What is reconciliation? Reconciliation is the act of causing two groups of people to become friendly again after they've had a disagreement. Okay? Two groups of people to become friendly again after a disagreement. You know, we live in a world of constant turmoil. I'm glad you brought that up this morning. I see a lot of that firsthand through Matthew House as we have refugees coming from all over the world from some pretty bleak situations. But it's not just around the world. It's even here in North America too, right? There are people hurting. There's division. And people's hurt are just compounded even further when there's division, right? Whether it's racism or other things that are here in North America that cause so much division, people are really hurt by that. Sometimes it seems here, Western culture, we are so divided, whether it's politics, race, all these things, we're just so divided, almost irreconcilably. But the role of the Christian is to enter into these situations and be the voice of peace. To be the voice of peace. The way of the world is strife, argument, oppression. But the way of our kingdom is sacrifice and love. Remember, an ambassador represents the concerns of his own country, not the one he's living in. So let us operate in a way that represents our kingdom, okay? Love, sacrifice, kindness. The world needs a lot more of that everywhere. Imagine if Christians actually proclaimed these truths to their neighbors that were suffering around them. How do you think they would react? Maybe you've tried that. Maybe you've got good reactions. Maybe you've got bad ones. But the call of the Christian is to do it regardless, okay? Historically, many Christians have struggled with understanding this paradigm, understanding this distinction that they have with the world, okay? So much evil has been perpetuated within our world by people that claim to be Christians, right? When the European settlers first arrived here on the shores of North America, they claimed to be Christians. The way they treated the Native Americans was absolutely horrible. Right? And we remember that on the day of reconciliation. When missionaries around the world at times have gone to foreign lands, they've been less concerned about spreading the gospel and sometimes more concerned about building their empire. Desmond Tutu, who is a priest from South Africa, said this. He said, "When the missionaries first came to my country, they had the Bible and we had the land. They said, 'Let's pray.' And when we closed our eyes, we had the Bible and they had the land." Okay, think about that. Are missionaries in that context operating more out of the kingdom of God or more out of the kingdom of their own empire, their own earthly empire? Right? When you study history, you see so many horrors, and I just listed a few, but there's so many, of Christians claiming to love God, claiming to be representing the kingdom of God, doing horrible things to other people, siding more with their earthly kingdoms than with the heavenly one. And the world sees this. I hear criticism all the time about Christianity. Didn't Christians do this? Didn't Christians do that? This horrible thing. Didn't Christians do that? Well, how will we expect them to react when the ambassadors are representing so poorly? Okay. I will say many, many Christians have done wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things. And I think the world tends to focus on the negative a lot. But it's important, right? Remember that ambassador to Kenya? He was the one Romanian that those people ever met. So of course they're going to have a negative perception if he treated them so horribly. The world is constantly warring, constantly divided, and it has been since the fall. And that really shouldn't surprise us, right? Ever since Cain and Abel, brothers have been fighting. Ever since the very beginning, right? People have been fighting. But what about the church? What about the church? Well, God's heart and desire for his church is that we would be unified. That we would be unified. In John 17, Jesus prays for all believers. And do you know what he says? Does anyone know? That we may be one, he says. Jesus prays that we may be one as he is one with the Father. Okay, so as close, as tight-knit as the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, as close as they are together, that is how Christians should appear to the world. Completely unified, on the same page, one in purpose, one in accord. Do we see that today? Sometimes, but oftentimes not. Oftentimes churches today are incredibly divided. There's so many different denominations, different styles, different churches. People argue about very serious things to very petty things like the color of the carpets, right? I was raised at a Baptist church like this one, and I remember when I was a young child, I asked the pastor, what is it that makes Baptists, like what is special about us compared to other denominations? And the pastor looked at me, he said, oh, well, Baptists, we believe the Bible. And even at a young age, that didn't sit right with me, because it's not like other Christians don't believe the Bible. Maybe they interpret certain things differently, okay? Maybe there's secondary issues that we can disagree on, but they still believe the Bible. It's this kind of divisiveness and disrespect that we often have for each other within Christendom that the world sees. The world sees that. Okay, and it really looks bad. It reflects badly on our kingdom. I don't know what kind of background everybody here is from with their faith. This is a Baptist church, obviously. But consider, maybe we have something to learn from different denominations. Maybe the Pentecostals have something to teach us about the Holy Spirit, right? Maybe the Anglicans have something to teach us about the reverence of communion. Okay. Maybe we have something to teach them here at a Baptist church. Maybe the Baptist church has something to teach them about reverence for the scriptures. That's what they're known for, right? But all of us, we're part of a diverse global movement, okay? There's so much beauty from belonging to such a movement. And it's a shame that so often we get stuck in petty debates about secondary issues that really don't matter. That really don't matter. The other reconciliation that Scripture talks about, and honestly, it's the most important of all, besides just humans reconciling with one another, more important than that is humans being able to reconcile with God. Okay, so I'm going to read this passage from 2 Corinthians one more time. And let's think about it through this lens. It says this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, here he's going to explain it. In verse 19, he says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to who? To God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is the gospel right there in a nutshell, right? God is reconciling this world to himself. It says God made him who had no sin to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. When this world fell, when Adam and Eve fell into sin and since then has just spiraled out of control, God didn't just allow it to fall into ruin and wash his hands and walk away. Right? He had a plan to redeem it. He had a plan to redeem it by sending himself, by sending his son to die on a cross to pay the penalty that humanity deserved. We can actually be reconciled with the Father. Remember that definition of reconciliation I had before? when two, let me just read it. When two parties are able to come back together, two people or groups are able to come back together, right? That's where we were at with God. We used to walk in perfect unity with God, right? Genesis tells us that in the garden, the Spirit would come down and walk with them in the cool of the day. Okay, the Spirit of God used to just walk in the garden. Imagine going out in your backyard and the Spirit of God is just there walking with you. How beautiful is that, right? And that was lost. That was lost for humanity. But praise be to God that he didn't just end it there, right? Praise be to God that he gave us hope. He gave us a way to reconcile with him. God is in the business of rescuing sinners here in Canada, around the world, everywhere. I've experienced this in my own life. I'm sure many of you have too, right? We've had our lives completely, eternally changed by the power of his blood. In light of understanding that, right, in light of understanding all that God has done for us, how could we not share it with those around us? Jesus calls himself living water, and we live in a world that is dying of thirst. Imagine having a giant gallon of water walking around, and everybody is so thirsty, and you just think, oh, I'm just going to keep this to myself, or I'm too shy. I don't want to risk offending anyone. I'm just going to hold on to this for myself, right? It's foolishness. You have living water, each one of you. Each one of you who's a member of the kingdom of God is filled with the living water and the authority that Christ had. As an ambassador, you're an agent for God's kingdom. Okay, something about an ambassador, when they go to a foreign land, they have something called diplomatic immunity. They have the full support and authority of their country backing them on everything they do. Okay, and that's the same with us. That's the same with us. When Jesus' disciples were, the last interaction Jesus has with his disciples before he goes up into heaven, it's in Acts chapter 1. They're questioning him, they're wondering about different things. They get a little confused because they ask him about the earthly kingdom of Israel. But that's okay. Jesus tells them, it's not for you to know time or places, right? Not or time or seasons, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, right? And you will be my witnesses or ambassadors in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And that was true for those 12 disciples there. It's also true for these disciples here in Ambassador Baptist Church today. Right? God has established this global army of redeemed, adopted ambassadors with all the authority given from him to build his kingdom and to spread his love. I think many Christians sometimes fail to grasp the extent of the power that they have, right? Many Christians think their faith is just kind of their insurance plan. You know, they're going to die one day and at least they get to go to heaven. They've said their little prayer, checked all the boxes, they get to go to heaven. And that is just so far below what the true power of the gospel is for each one of us. The gospel invites us not just to experience God's redemptive work, but to actually participate in it. To actually participate in it. My challenge to you today, Ambassador Baptist Church, is that you would truly live out that name, Ambassador Baptist Church. Truly live out that name and calling. I don't know what that's going to look like in each of your individual lives, but whether it's at work or at school or with your neighbors, right? All of you, God has an assignment for you, and you are to be his ambassador. You aren't just to coast along, waiting to get into heaven. You actually have a valuable role to play for his team right now. Right now. It's the Super Bowl today. How many people are going to watch the Super Bowl? Yeah? Okay. Right. On a football team, there's what? I think 52 players, if I read correctly. I don't actually know, but that's what I read when I looked it up. But there's a lot of players. There's like 50 guys on this team, right? And usually we only focus on like the star players. They're kind of doing their thing. And there's a lot of players that they're kind of just bench warmers, right? They don't really play. They kind of sit on the bench. Maybe they cheer on their friends. I don't know. But they don't really have a role to play, right? They only go in if someone's injured, you know? On God's team, there's no bench warmers. Okay? On God's team, there's no bench warmers. He has a purpose for each and every one of you to fulfill in the world today, okay? You don't just get to sit by and coast and watch everyone else do the work, right? All of you have a role to play in God's kingdom as his ambassadors. So first and foremost, you have to understand your identity. You have to understand your identity, okay? I see we have a pretty diverse group here of many different backgrounds, but first and foremost, all of us are citizens of the kingdom of God. Even before we're Canadian, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. We have to understand that. It informs everything else that we do. You have to be active in advocating for the concerns of the kingdom, especially in a culture that is progressively more and more going away from the ways of God, going away from church, going away from the values of the kingdom, right? If we're not going to be the ones advocating for godliness, who is? Who is? Right? And allow your good deeds to bring honor and glory to God. Okay? Sometimes I see cars with a little fish sticker on the back. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Which is nice. That's good. It's good to rep the kingdom that way. But my concern is always when I see that, you have to be the most perfect driver ever because people are going to be judging your every move, right? People are going to be judging your every move. And it's true for everything else in life, okay? When people know you're a Christian, they're going to be watching. They might not tell you, right? They might not let you know that they're testing you, but people are going to be watching, okay? And it's going to inform how they view the kingdom of God. So take that seriously. Bring honor to the kingdom, not shame. Bring honor to the kingdom, not shame. As you do this, I believe you're going to begin to see God using you. Maybe you felt like you're just coasting along and God hasn't been using you for anything. As you lean into this identity, I promise you, you're going to start to feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit and you're going to see him use you in powerful ways, more than you might have ever imagined. Whether it's bringing reconciliation to a hurting neighborhood, whether it's bringing peace, encouragement, and joy to a hurting family, maybe it's bringing food or shelter to a homeless person, right? There's so many ways, but be listening, because the Spirit is going to prompt you. The Spirit is going to prompt you. Whether it's out in the world or within the church, seek unity. Seek unity. Seek to listen to those who have different viewpoints than you, especially within the church. And ultimately, the primary way we see this reconciliation is by preaching the gospel and seeing lost children coming home to their father. So think about it. Who in your life do you think you're called to be an ambassador to? You're representing the kingdom of God, but who in your life are you representing him to? Is it your family? Is it your children? Is it your parents? Is it your classmates? Think about that. And watch how God can use you. Let me pray for us. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters here at Ambassador Baptist that they would rise to the calling. That they would rise to the calling that you have for them as they leave this place, as they go home, as they go to their workplace, as they go to maybe a Super Bowl party tonight, whatever it is, as they go back into the world, that they would know that they are there on mission. You have us here on this earth on mission as your ambassadors. Ambassadors of your love, ambassadors of your reconciliation to this world that desperately needs it. We love you, Lord. I thank you for saving us, for redeeming us, and for inviting us to take part of this redemption. It's in Jesus' name we pray today. Amen.